Hello and welcome to the Outside the Box podcast. I'm Leo and I'm here today with Joe. This week we'll review a hectic weekend of Premier League action and try to pick out the best 11 of performers this weekend. Then we'll reveal our player to watch and finish off with a debate on who's the GOAT manager.
Right, so let's start off with the Prem weekend. So we'll start off with the first fixture of the weekend with Southampton edging Aston Villa a 0-0. Adam Armstrong with the highlight, a great volley from the left-hand side of the area into the left-hand side of the goal. But the major talking point from this game is Villa sacking their manager Dean Smith after. What do you make of this here?
Well, I mean, that volley was something else. Definitely showing his skill, but Dean Smith getting sacked, I think that is the big talking point coming out of this weekend. It's a bit of a shock, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look how well Villa did last year, but then you've got to admit, after they've lost Jack Grealish, it's just been plummet from there, down they go. Especially since they lost to us, Arsenal. They've just not been in the best form, and they've had a really good transfer window with the likes of Leon Bailey coming in. But it just seems to not work. They don't have the best manager who can work the system. There have been rumours Roberto Martinez, former Everton manager and current Belgian manager, coming into the job. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it sounds like a good play if they're going to get rid of this manager. But do you think they should have given him a bit more time to try and prove this new team that's lacking their star player, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's 5 losses on the bounce now for Villa. I think if they wait any longer, you never know. Relegation is always threatening. And, well, maybe with a new start now, they can just build and get out of the relegation zone. And hopefully a top-half finish, you never know with the Prem. Now, Leo, do you want to take us into the big fixture of the weekend?
Yeah, definitely a big one. Manchester derby. Man U versus Man City. With Man City coming out victorious at 2-0. Yeah, Man United didn't have a great game. Only one shot on target throughout the whole 90 minutes. What do you think of that, Joe?
It's embarrassing. Like, you have Cristiano Ronaldo. How's this happening? Like, it's so sure. You can't blame anyone else now, can you?
No, there is one person to blame here. And I mean, their front three is good. I mean, Ronaldo, Fernandes, and
Rashford, Pogba, Greenwood, the list goes on.
Exactly, you've got such talent to pick from, and you just can't make it happen. So I definitely think Solskjaer needs to go.
Yeah, the experienced manager could really come in and work wonders with this squad, get the players gelling. But it's just all these big name players, they haven't seemed to work together. When you look at City, they've brought players in. They were big before, but they took them into the system. And Guardiola, that's when you separate a good manager from a bad manager. A good manager can bring all these players in, get them working together. A bad manager will bring in these big names, but they won't be able to coexist together, as you see with United now. What do you think of Cancelo, though? Best fullback in the world?
I think he definitely has to be up there. He's a class player. Showed his talent there against Man U.
2 crosses, 2 assists.
Exactly. That is just ripped them to pieces almost, even with their defence being, you know, half decent. They were missing Varane, but still, it's a good defence. It's like a solid defence, but he just worked wonders with it.
Yeah, brilliant. I think City, you have to admit, a lot of Portuguese players on the pitch that day as well, with the likes of Bernardo Silva, of course, who got himself a goal, Bruno Fernandes, Ruben Dias, Yeah, Cancelo, of course, and then Cristiano Ronaldo. Some very good Portuguese talents in show. Well, next game, and Norwich finally get their first win of the season after 11 games. Yes, they beat Brentford 2-1, and Brentford have been starting to lose form now. Now, what did you think of Brentford's bright start and how they're dropping off now?
I know, it was something of a fairy tale, you know? They beat big teams, and they were doing all right for themselves. Quite a lot of people going to support them, this underdog team. It's a shame to see they're losing form, but also slightly expected. I don't know what your take is on it, but you know, they're not one of the strongest teams, and they're not going to have the reserves that other teams do.
I mean, after the game, Norwich sacked their manager Daniel Farker straight away after his first win. Now, is that a bad decision?
I think so. I think he's to at least get some good results. It's taken too long. I think heard some rumours that Frank Lampard's in the hot seat to possibly get the job, which would be quite good to see him back.
He's an upgrade. Yeah, but Lampard, I mean, at Chelsea he wasn't the worst, but you could tell as soon as Tuchel came in how much Chelsea needed that lift as a manager. But Lampard, he worked wonders with Derby County before coming to Chelsea in the Championship. Of course, getting into the playoffs. Unfortunately, they lost in the final to Aston Villa. And I don't know, with a club like Norwich and the players they have, like Billy Gilmore, for example, from Chelsea, like he could really develop these players.
Yeah, no, definitely. It'd be good to see some good youth players coming out there as well. Moving on to the next game, bit of a disappointing one here. Chelsea 1, Burnley 1. Chelsea missing the chance to go 5 points clear at the top. But Burnley definitely were in great form. I don't know what you think about that. But
yeah, the signing of Maxwell Cornet has absolutely transformed Burnley. He has brought so much flair and talent to the club, and also a lot of skill. And of course, the main thing, he's brought goals. 4 goals in his last 6 appearances. What do you think of that?
Yeah, he's definitely showing his talent. You know, Burnley's not the strongest team, they're not the weakest team, you know, they're a solid mid-team, and to go in there and make such an impact is very good to see. But just also the game was showing that Chelsea is lacking strikers. You know, Lukaku is very good, but it can't just be him, really. I think that's what Chelsea are going to try and aim to do in this January transfer window upcoming, is trying to get another striker to help out.
Werner, but of course, it's just been poor luck having both of them injured at the same time, but then with Werner, I see him more as a winger these days. I don't think he's confident enough in front of goal to play at that striker position. I think you bring in a young striker and develop him, so then when Lukaku eventually leaves, you have that young striker behind, and then he can go.
Definitely. I don't think he's the right person now as a striker role. You know, maybe even try and right mid or even fullback, however crazy it sounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Chelsea needs to do some experimenting when he's back from injury.
But onto the fullbacks, Reece James and Chilwell have been absolutely brilliant this season.
Yeah, Reece James just on another level. Showed his talent in the Champions League last year. It's good to have him in the team.
Yeah, and Chilwell as well getting some goals. Both of them on about 3-4 goals so far this season. 7 goals between them. Now on to the next game, Crystal Palace 2-0 Wolves. Vieira is working wonders for them. Some great transfer business in the summer is starting to show as well. But Wolves, they've been good recently, but it's just too inconsistent with them. You've got to get on a run of games that they win, because otherwise they ain't getting no chance with the Europa League or Europa Conference League. So what do you think of Palace here?
Yeah, good to see them getting a win as well. Wolves are definitely a decent team. As you said, they have been inconsistent over these weeks at the start. So good to see Palace getting some wins and some good transfer business, as you mentioned.
Another London club that just grown stronger. Now on to Brighton Newcastle 1-0, and well, Newcastle still yet to win a game this season. Are they going down?
It's looking like it, isn't it? Even Norwich have won one now, so definitely the pressure's on to get some wins in there. Brighton as well starting to drop off as well. Some recent bad results.
Fourth place about 2 game weeks ago, and now they're sitting 7th, which obviously for a team like Brighton is not a bad position at all, but considering where they were at the start of the year, it's been a really poor drop off from them. And then yet again, it's like the Brentford situation, they just don't have enough depth in the ranks.
Yeah, and it's like where teams such as Arsenal show that they've got a bit more depth in these teams and have climbed from, 11th or 12th to now 6th or 7th?
We're going for extremely 20th at one point.
Yeah, so, well,
20th to 5th, brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, on to Arsenal, a 1-0 win against Watford, but honestly, we need a new striker. Aubameyang is not it now. He's not got the pace, he's not got the finishing that he once had. He's older now, he's broken in a way.
Yeah, I've personally never rated Aubameyang that much. I mean, he's always scored goals and he's always been there, but I don't think he's ever been anything special. And after his performance, I think they do need to look at getting a new striker in this upcoming window.
Dusan Vlahovic from Fiorentina has been linked with an Arsenal for a whopping €80 million move, but as an Arsenal fan, I'm not too against it. Like, many people won't know who this guy is. He's a Serbian centre-forward, very tall, Erling Haaland-esque, as many people have labelled him. And he's currently top scorer in the Serie A, with a hat-trick in the last game. So, what do you think of Vlahovic?
Arsenal linked with another transfer here. Yeah. Sounds like the window at the start. But no, if they could secure him, I mean, that sounds quite good. Definitely could make an impact on the team. Just coming from the Serie A to the Premier League is always quite a big change. And I'll have to see if he does come, if he can actually make that transition.
He's a very big striker. He's one of those guys with presence in the box and wins you headers. And what I saw from the weekend is how our fullbacks put in so many crosses over and over again. But Aubameyang was never in a position to put them in. And it just wasn't working. It was very not full flow.
So moving on to Spurs-Everton, 0-0 draw. Conte era beginning, but doesn't have so much of an impact in his first game.
Tottenham, not even a shot on target, even worse than United. And Everton denied a penalty by VAR, with Charleston into the box. It was a 1-on-1. Lloris comes out, and it looks like he clips him with his hands, but Charleston going down a bit easy. But the interesting thing about the situation is how Charleston regains the ball and is about to shoot into an open net, and the ref blows the whistle and points to the spot, and then it gets overturned and Tottenham have the ball.
Oh, you know, VAR is always, it's definitely a controversial talking point that we might have to do on the show one day.
Definitely.
But, you know, it's something, personally, I don't really agree with it, because they should just, if the ref can't see it, then the ref can't see it. But that's a conversation for the other day. I'm sure Everton, very upset by that decision, because they, you know, could have got an extra 3 points, which definitely would help them.
Yeah. Now, Leicester leads 1-0. Rafinha with a lovely strike from free kick. And then right after from kickoff, Leicester moves it forward. Harvey Barnes gets the ball on the left-hand side of the goal and with a brilliant finish, curls into the top right. And... well, I've just got to mention Rafinha for Leeds has been amazing recently. He currently has the most goals from outside the box in the entire Premier League. What do you make of that?
You know, that's quite impressive. You know, he's clearly a good striker. He's been making an impact even against the large teams.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Good to see.
Leicester, though, not the best season for them. Obviously, losing 2-0 to us. Brilliant performance, by the way. And then drawing to Leeds. You wouldn't expect this from the Leicester side from last year. Jamie Vardy really has been off. Now, he has got 7 goals this season, but taking into account the last 4 or 5 games, he's not really made much of an impact. All right, Leo, do you want to take us into the last game?
Yeah, so quite a big shock here. Liverpool 2, West Ham 3. A crazy result. Definitely unexpected. Fornals the hero, possibly?
Definitely. His corner for the first goal, Alisson with a bit of a blunder, and you say, but even if he didn't make that blunder, the ball's still going into the net, whether or not. Man, there were shouts for handball, for foul on the keeper, but all overturned by VAR. And then, of course, he gets slot in by Antonio and finishes his second. And West Ham move above Liverpool in the league now. How big is that?
Huge. I mean, definitely wouldn't call that at the start of the season. I don't think the West Ham fans even would. You know, it's a huge, you know, change. Yeah, the Premier League table at the minute is extremely volatile. People going from 20th to 6th, no names mentioned. People dropping down, and yeah, it's crazy. And that's what we like about football, is that it just changes. And if you have a good thing about this season, there's not really one dominant team.
Yeah.
Everyone's got almost a chance in it, really.
Right now. But are Liverpool going to drop off?
I think they'll manage to rescue it back. They've got a good team and decent reserves, so I think they'll get it back.
Now we're going to name our team of the week from the weekend. So, Leo, would you like to take us into our goalkeeper options?
Yep, so for goalkeeper, we've got two here. Ben Foster or Nick Pope. Joe, what are your thoughts here?
It has to be Ben Foster. He was brilliant. Of course, Watford did end up losing the game, but you've got to take into account what Foster did. He saved Aubameyang's penalty for a starter, and then he made save after save. I vividly remember one when I think Tomiyasu crossed it in. Gabriel at the back post heads it down, and then you know how hard that is for a keeper. And the ball's headed down at your feet to make that save. But he saved it, and he just looked brilliant all game. But Nick Pope, of course, saving Burnley again and again against Chelsea. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I'd actually have to call Ben Foster the better of the two. Nick Pope did put in a good shift against a strong side, but a strong side lacking in a striker. So I don't think we have to count that in his favour. So I'd definitely be asking Ben Foster here.
Yeah, Ben Foster. Now right back, and this is probably one of the biggest. We've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, who scored a banging free kick, and then Reece James, who got another assist on the weekend. Now, Leo, I don't want any bias from you here. Who are you going for?
I think there'll always be some subconscious bias here, but I actually do have to say Reece James. He's put in a shift all season, working his absolute hardest, and you know he's making these assists and chances, even when we're lacking a striker. So I think he definitely has to be him.
Now, I'm going to have to disagree with you here, Leo. That free kick from Trent just puts it over for me. And then the cross as well for the Origi goal. Should we do rock, paper, scissors?
You get some. I think you should.
Alright, go on then. Came out on top on that one. Trent Alexander-Arnold it is at our right back position. Now, Leo, take us into the next one.
So, we've got the first centre back position, Ben White or Kurt Zouma. Again, probably some biasness from me here, but I think I have to say Kurt Zouma is a strong defender.
Got the goal as well to win West Ham the game. Now, I'm not going to like dropping Ben White here, but I still have to say he was brilliant. We got the clean sheet at the end of the day. Another one for the Arsenal counter. And for Emilsmith for his goal, Ben White got the ball from the halfway line and dribbled all the way up into the Watford box before he got tackled. And then that set up Smith Rowe for the shot, but I have to agree with you, Leo. Kurt Zouma, it is.
Ben White, too expensive for what he is.
No, he's proving his worth now. If you watch a couple of years, he'll be England's number one centre-back.
Right, the other centre-back position we have is Christian Romero or John Stones. I'm actually going to say John Stones for this one. You know, he's kept out that front three of Fernandes, Ronaldo, and was it Mason Greenwood?
I believe it was Mason Greenwood.
Mason Greenwood. So I definitely have to call John Stones here.
Yeah, I mean, keeping them pretty quiet is no easy task, but then, and Romero from Tottenham, of course, for the clean sheet, that is mostly why he was added in here. But John Stones, I have to agree with you again, Leo, because he was so solid. Those players that you mentioned as well, there's some elite attackers in that category.
Yeah.
Now at left back, I mean, it's probably the easiest one. Yao Cancelo or Tyrick Mitchell.
Yeah, no offence to Tyrick Mitchell, but Cancelo is just on another level to him. So it has to be him.
Yeah, Mitchell did put in a good performance in the Palace game, but it is going to have to be Cancelo after that man of the match performance. Now, the tough one here, Zaha or Rafinha at the right mid position.
It is a tough one, isn't it? I'm going to go with Rafinha here. You know, he did put in a good shift, so it has to be him.
Yeah, Zaha got the goal, as did Rafinha, but then I think Rafinha brings that a little bit extra to the table, as Leeds not with Patrick Bamford at the moment. So he's really had to become that main goal threat and basically grab all of the Leeds goals. So let's go with Rafinha. Now we've got Conor Gallagher of Crystal Palace and Allen of Everton. Now if this was FIFA, I would pick Allen, but it's going to be Conor Gallagher here. For the last couple of weeks, he has been absolutely incredible. The best signing of the window, in my opinion. And he's actually on loan from Chelsea.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you here. Done a lot for his team. And yeah, just overall better player.
Definitely.
And then moving on to the left centre mid, Pablo Fornals or Kai Havertz.
Havertz with the goal for Chelsea, but then Fornals at the double for West Ham.
I think it has to be Kai Havertz though, because the amount of work he does making these chances as well. He's not just the person who slots it in the end, he works the whole pitch.
Yeah, but then you've got to take into account the results at the end of the day as well. Fornals, with those two goals, got West Ham the win over, not just about any club, but we're talking about Liverpool. This is their first loss of the season. They've been on amazing run of form. They've beaten the likes of Atletico Madrid, Manchester City, Man United. And you've got to look how this one Spaniard has shut them down with two goals in one game.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, Kai Havertz is in the team that is at the top of the table. And, you know, there's a reason they got there, and he's one of the main reasons they did. So,
might have to do rock, paper, scissors again, yeah?
Pull out the rock, paper, scissors.
Alright, here we go. And I'll take the win again. Pablo Fornals is into the team.
Then moving over to left mid, we have Emile Smith Rowe or Harvey Barnes.
Smith Rowe.
That was a fast one, didn't even need to think there. I think I have to agree though, taking a little bit more thought, but yeah, definitely Emile Smith Rowe there.
Well, look at the stats, last six games, 4 goals, 2 assists, recently called up to England. I mean, can you even argue that? He's the most informed English player in the league right now.
Yeah, have to hand it to the fella.
Brilliant player.
So, moving up to striker now, we've got Adam Armstrong or Mikel Antonio?
Antonio with the assist for the 4-0 goal, but then Armstrong producing that wonderful volley. What do you think?
I think it has to be Mikel Antonio for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a workhorse, Antonio, up and down the pitch. Always. He found that pass as well. And Armstrong, that was really his only involvement of the game. And it is a big involvement, of course, but at the end of the day, I believe it is Mikel Antonio now. Ronaldo Silva or Teemu Pukki for the last position in the team.
Ooh. I think I'm going to go Bernardo Silva.
Just about.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of players, Bernardo Silva is worlds ahead of Teemu Pukki, but Pukki did get his goal this weekend, got Norwich to win, but Bernardo Silva was very, very important in Man City, being very dominant. In the Manchester Derby.
Definitely. So, moving over to the player to watch segment, I'll be kicking this off, looking at the Bundesliga. So, we're looking at a player here known as Nadiem Amiri. Apologies if I said that wrong. He's a 24-year-old currently playing for Bayern Leverkusen. The league position they're currently in is 6th. Next fixture they've got upcoming is VfL Bochum.
Don't know if that's how we'll agree with the...
No, the pronunciation here is not going well. But the last fixture, a 1-1 draw with Bayern Munich. Definitely a strong result for them.
Very strong. Of course, Bayern have been a very good team.
Exactly. So, he's a German national. Position's sort of, you know, centre-mid area. He won the Euro Under-21 Championships with the Germany Under-21 side. The Bundesliga Under-19 champions with Hoffenheim Under-19. And the Bundesliga stats so far is 9 appearances and 1 goal. Looking a little bit weak, but I think he's done a bit of behind-the-scenes work here.
A bit of a workhorse in the field. He's not known for getting those big stats like goals and assists. He's more of the guy who has the pre-assists in a way. He'll start off the move, he won't necessarily finish it. Anyway, yeah. Carry on, Europa League.
So Europa League stats so far, he's had 3 appearances, 1 goal and 1 assist. Quite solid, especially in a weaker team. And definitely showing, you know, he's putting the work in. For the international stats, he's had 8 appearances and 2 goals. Both goals in the Olympics, actually. So definitely showing some talent there.
On the big stage,
yeah. Yeah. Last season stats, 39 appearances, 5 goals and 9 assists. So... showing again, I mean, he's not getting the big numbers. He's getting decent numbers, but he's putting in that work behind the scenes.
I don't know if you saw, but he actually got the Bundesliga goal of the season. A brilliant goal. He chipped the keeper, went back round the keeper, turned on himself, and backfilled it for the keeper's legs.
Very fine.
Very cheeky.
So his current market value is 12.7, but I think this can go up. You know, he's a young player, and he's just such a workhorse that, you know, mid-level teams in the Premier League definitely could pick him up.
Newcastle United.
Exactly.
My league was La Liga, and I've gone with Arnaud Danjuma Kornveld. He's a Dutch international He plays for Villarreal and is 24 years of age. Villarreal aren't exactly having the best season. They currently sit in 12th. They did win their last fixture against Getafe 1-0, but next up they have Celta Vigo. And they have a strong side. Iago Aspas, the main talent there. He has won one trophy in his career with Club Bruges from Belgium, and it was the Belgian Super Cup. And so far in La Liga, he has 11 appearances, 5 goals and 1 assist. Not too bad for his first season. And in the Champions League, now this is what I think is most impressive about this guy. 4 appearances, 2 goals and 1 assist. What do you think about that,
Leo? Yeah, that's definitely impressive for someone as a relatively young age. And in Champions League, which is, you know, the most competitive league in the world, I'd say, or tournament. But, you know, he's with a weaker side and he's still putting in those goals, so definitely strong.
He's only had 3 appearances for the Dutch national team, but has got 2 goals in those appearances. And last season, he was actually at AFC Bournemouth in the Championship, where he made 37 appearances, got 17 goals and 8 assists, and finished second top scorer in the league after Ivan Toney, frankly. Overall in his career, he has 181 appearances, 58 goals and 34 assists, and his current market value is $22.5 million. He's my player to watch because I think against a team like Celta, he'll make such a big impact with the fullbacks running up and down with that electric pace of his.
Definitely. So,
moving
over to the best, the GOAT manager. We were hoping to do a few more managers, but unfortunately due to some late pullouts, we won't be able to cover all of them. So we're going to be kicking it off with Joe and Arsene Wenger.
Arsene Wenger. As soon as I found out we were going to do a best manager ever debate, there was only one manager that sprung to mind, and it was this guy. And yeah, there may have been a bit of bias in this, but it had to be done. All right. So he came to England in October 1996, and he transformed the English game in a way that changed coaching, fitness, training, scouting and diet methods. He led and the rest of England followed. And that includes the likes of Alex Ferguson and Kenny Dalglish. Of course, some will point to his failure not to win the Champions League as a reason why he's not one of the greatest. But then you've got to take into account Liverpool great Bill Shankly also never won the Champions League. Does that also mean he isn't one of the greatest? If you use the pinnacle of achievement to define who is one of the greatest, it would mean that the likes of Lionel Messi, Johan Cruyff, George Best, and Cristiano Ronaldo cannot be considered amongst the greatest. They've never won the World Cup, which is considered the pinnacle in a player's career to win the World Cup.
Yeah, but if you look at that, I mean, it's not just a one-player team, is it? There's 10 other players that, you know, have to help them along the way, whereas the manager, it's just them and they have control over the whole team.
Yeah, but then when we're looking at this in an individual's perspective, I mean, Ronaldo and Messi are amongst the best, and look at like players like Maradona. He carried a rubbish Argentina team to the 1986 World Cup, where we had the same calibre of players then than we do now. Now, on to some quick stats about Wenger. He holds the record for the most games managed in the Premier League. He also holds the record for finishing in the top 4 for a consecutive amount of seasons. And then his biggest feat, an unbeaten season. In 2003-04, Arsenal went unbeaten in the season which was labelled as the Invincibles, where they won, I believe, 26 matches and drew 12 and lost none. Something which no other modern-day manager has done in the English game, Spanish game, German game, any type. He's won the double, which is the Premier League and FA Cup, about 3 times. Only Sir Alex Ferguson has won the League and Cup double more. He's won the FA Cup the most out of every manager. And I think what makes Wenger set apart from the rest is how he finds gems, myths and legends. I mean, you've got to look at the as of Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, Ian Wright, Patrick Vieira, Robert Pirès, all these players who weren't as well known before they came to Arsenal, and Wenger trained them into some of the best players of all time. He's about to have a movie made about him and the only other manager to have a movie made about him is Sir Alex Ferguson. He has managed 1,235 matches for Arsenal, won 707, drew 280, and lost 248. So he had a win percentage of 57.2%. And then his achievements just go on and on and on. It's just a joke how many Premier Leagues one manager won, how many FA Cups. He's won the J League, which is the Japanese league. He's won the Ligue 1 with Monaco and the French version of the FA Cup, the Coupe de France. And then he took a very subpar Arsenal team to third in the league as well, which included the likes of Jeremy Frimpong, Francis Coquelin, Chamakh, who I've not heard of in my life, Mikel, and Sebastian Spalacci, who, Leo, he is one of the worst centre-backs of all time. He's worse than Shock and Mustafi. Yeah, and that takes a lot to do. Well, that's my argument for Wenger, so if you'd like to...
Yeah, so putting my manager forward, Pep Guardiola, one of the most well-known managers out there, I'd say. First season at Barca, he won the treble, which is, yeah, that's pretty impressive, taking a team in your first season and doing that. Even Thomas Tuchel didn't manage to do that with the best team in the world. he led Barca to be the first Spanish Cup to win the UCL, La Liga and Copa del Rey. The treble winning season is seen as one of the club's finest in its history. Furthermore, he became the youngest man to coach a Champions League winning team. He led Barca to their first ever Club World Cup. In three years, Barca won two Champions Leagues with Pep. He joined Bayern in 2013, and his first trophy with Bayern was the 2013 UEFA Super Cup, defeating long-time adversary Jose Mourinho, who had just returned to coach at Chelsea. He then broke the Bundesliga record for the earliest team to win the league, with seven games remaining.
I mean, here's my argument for that. He's never had a bad team. He's never had bad players. Every time he's gone somewhere, he's had money and he's had good players. Let's look at it. Barcelona, he had Lionel Messi. Robert Lewandowski when he went by, and he inherited De Bruyne when he went to City. How does that...
Even so, like, one player doesn't make it. One player can have a huge impact on a team, but one player, at the end of the day, does not make a team. And yes, having money helps, but all these clubs have money, and if they put in good results early on, even with a average team, they're going to get more funding from the people in the club.
Yeah, but what I think is how Wenger, for most of his career, especially when we built Emirates Stadium in 2006, he didn't have any money to spend. We were debt and broke. That forced us to sell the club to the Cronkies, who are some horrible owners. But Pep, wherever he's gone, like, of course now he has the Saudi backing the City, one of the oil money clubs. And Bayern, biggest club in Germany, arguably. Not even arguably, they are. And then Barcelona, it was always them or Madrid. And Pep came in and then he inherited players. And I know I just mentioned one player, but so that kind of sparked the one-man team debate, but Xavi, Iniesta, Busquets, Abidal, Alves, Valdez, Puyol,
The sheer amount he won at such a young age, relatively for a manager, yeah, it's just, he does make teams work, even if he brings players in, you know, halfway through the season, at the end of the season, he makes them gel with the team, so the whole team on the whole plays better. I mean, just looking at his individual awards, there's just, the list goes on and on and on. It's crazy how many, you know, Manager of the Year awards he has from different organisations. It's, you know, like, not a lot of other managers have that many accolades to their name.
Yeah, but Wenger, he was never really, like, he was there in the time of Sir Alex Ferguson, who, of course, as we mentioned earlier, was in this conversation but couldn't be mentioned. But, I mean, I reckon if Pep and Man City were in the time of prime Sir Alex Ferguson, they wouldn't win anything either. You've got to look at that as well. Who they're facing.
Depends, because back in the time of Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger, there was only really a few big teams, you know. I don't know. It's hard to say because we can never assume anything. You know, football's a crazy sport with things happening.
In a couple of years, the Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola might look like the Wenger and Alex Ferguson of the past.
Yeah, exactly. Has gone Pep's way though, hasn't it? You know.
Right now. Well, that is it. Thank you for listening to Outside the Box. Let us know whether you like Guardiola or Wenger. Thank you for listening. See you next week.